Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
And moving on now, and Paul Reid, the CEO of the HSE, has just tweeted that 8 hospitals now have zeroed COVID-19 patients. St James's, Naas, Tullamore, Sligo, Galway, Kilkenny, Mersey and Waterford. Also, the 3 children's hospitals, Temple Street, Crumlin and Talla, are COVID-free. So he's tweeting there, great relief for patients, public and staffs. Nice to report good news in that regard. But maybe not so good news that the cost of living has gone up over the past 12 months. New figures show that the price of transport, electricity and even a haircut has increased during the course of the pandemic. Michelle Murphy is a research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland, which was part of this study. She joins me. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
So how significant are these increases?
Well, they're very significant, particularly for households on fixed income. So that's households on social welfare, so either pensioners, people on disability payment, people who are unemployed, and also households who are on low income, so people in low paid jobs, because, you know, they're going to have to absorb these increased costs, utility costs, transport costs, for example, and then they're going to have to make cuts in any of their discretionary areas, and primarily that's food, clothing, or any sort of extracurricular activity for a child, for example, taking them to the zoo, buying a birthday present or a Christmas present. So it's the discretionary areas that are cut. So it's putting people who are already in very difficult positions pre-COVID, it's putting them in a more tenuous position, really, and they're falling further behind. And it's not going to be good news for them, or indeed those 353 households who were in arrears on electricity and gas in February. The blanket ban on disconnections has now been removed. So, you know, they are also facing into a very, very challenging space.
And you're talking about people on fixed incomes like pensioners, lone parents, people obviously on job seekers and so on. But aren't they on allowances as well to cover a lot of the costs here?
Well, not everybody is entitled to the fuel allowance, for example. So some households are, and it's a support, but it's only available for 28 weeks a year, for example. So in order to mitigate against this, I suppose there's 2 strands. The first strand is in terms of income supports for households on fixed incomes and social welfare. You're looking at increasing the core rate. So that's the 203 euros rate, benchmarking it to 27.5% of average earnings. So that's increasing it by about 20 euros over 2 years. In terms of the living alone allowance, increasing that. The fuel allowance, perhaps extending the number of weeks it's made available. The OECD actually recommend that it be made available for the entire year for eligible households. Then crucially for low-paid workers and low-income families with jobs is make tax credits refundable. The average refund is between 15 and 19 euros a week. Most of us will not benefit from that, but it's for people earning around 16,000 euros a year who don't get the main benefits of their tax credits, like you or I. Then the other side of it is retrofitting those homes with very poor BER ratings, rental accommodation and social housing. And the government really would need to step in there because, you know, the upfront cost of the grant is beyond the means of most of the households we're talking about.
And these single-digit increases in utilities, how many people would this affect in a very negative, in a very kind of stressful sort of way? How many families, how many people are we talking about here?
Well, if you look at, for example, looking at the number of people experiencing deprivation, so that's families going without, people going without on a daily basis. In 2019, so record levels of employment and economic growth, there was nearly 900,000 people across all the demographics, across all the social areas who experienced deprivation. Now, that's really concerning because after the crash in 2008, our deprivation rates rocketed among all groups. So in order to sort of, so you're looking at about 900,000 people, this is really, really going to impact on. So, you know, you have to look at the social welfare system and people who are in low-paid jobs to try and mitigate against that, because what we don't want to see is the trend that we saw at in really high levels of deprivation, you know, because we are facing into a very difficult period. Yes, the country is opening back up, but, you know, not everyone is back to full paid jobs. A lot of people on the PUP are now facing going on, you know, going down to a rate of 203 euros a week, significantly lower than what they're already on.
Well, finally and briefly, Michelle, inflation has risen, but inflation is caused by an increase in wages or a surge in demand for something. And I'm trying to square the circle here. How would that have happened over the last 12 months?
Well, I suppose one of the biggest pressures on wages is at the cost of housing. And ultimately, I mean, housing is, you know, garners all the headlines and reason why puts huge pressures on wages. And actually, if you look at the living wage, the cost of what a living wage would be would have fallen over the past 4 years if it were not for the cost of housing. So the cost of housing is really one of the driving factors here, and it's really the state that needs to intervene at that level in terms of social and affordable homes.
Okay.
And try and bring the overall cost down.
All right. And Michelle Murphy, research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland, who is very much part of that survey. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. It's just gone past 11 o'clock and we head straight to the newsroom and Vivian Traynor.